all runs on the mud tonight. I got me Parker, looking for the crew, any muds will do. I got me Parker, quite just feeling got fangs, so I'm gonna be the same. I got me Parker, the kids are all right, so I'm looking for the fine. I got me Parker. I used to be a punk, but now punk's on boo. I got me Parker. Well, I've got my Parker, but I don't really like it much because the fur gets in me neck. I only bought one because we made it. It's not a bit of fashion, I want to spend money. I used to be punk. I spent all that money on bondage things and leather jackets. And what happens? They bring out another fashion. I'm waiting for the next one. I wanted to be a hippie, but I was always too young. Anyway, I suppose I better rev up and rev up. I'm going. I've had enough of this rubbish.
I used to be a punk, but now punk song. Song.
I never thought you'd be a junkie because heroin is so passé. If you think that I don't know about depression and emotional pain, you're insane. You're a fool who hasn't paid attention to a word that I say. In a way, I can't help but feel responsible. I always knew that you were insane with the pain, but I never thought you'd be a junkie because heroin is so passé. Heroin is so passé. Heroin is so passé. Ah, so passé. Nowadays, you never thought you'd get addicted, just be cooler in an obvious way. Piercings and decided maybe that you were gay. In a way, I can't help but feel responsible. I always knew that you were insane with your pain, but I never thought you'd be a junkie because heroin is so passé. Heroin is so passé. Heroin is so passé.
Thank you. One of the most rockin' early tracks from the Beatles.
Yep.
Really, like when you think about it. Still a little jazzy.
A little bit.
Welcome to Punks and Parkas.
Welcome.
So today, you know, I wish I had like a ding ding.
Ding like, ding.
It is some great rock and roll rivalries. Yeah. We started talking about this last week and I'm like, ooh.
It's a good idea.
It's a great idea for a show.
Yeah.
So for this hour, we've picked a few.
Yep.
We're putting the artists head to head. We're going to talk a little bit about the rivalries. It's on the Instagram story for me if you want to go and vote.
Yep.
Maybe we'll share.
DJ Penny Lane.
At DJ Penny Lane. But yep. Yeah. So we started with the two artists that kind of kicked off this thought because we played a Dandy Warhol's track last week.
Yes.
And it got me thinking about this. So we started the show with the Dandy Warhol's doing a track called Not If You Were the Last Junkie on Earth. And then followed up with a very similar sounding track by the Brian Jonestown Massacre, Not If You Were the Last Dandy on Earth. So these two bands have a pretty... See, I'm even prepared. I wrote notes on this
stuff,
people.
She's got notes, ladies and gentlemen. She's like a big, thick 300-page notebook over here.
We only have an hour, so I'm going to read quick.
Yep.
But anyway, the Brian Jonestown Massacre and the Dandy Warhols, there's a documentary called Dig, which sums up this whole rivalry. It's a fantastic documentary, even if you're not fans of the band. It's just a good one. But to kind of cliff note it for y'all, so these two groups were contemporaries and friends.
Yeah.
I think in Cincinnati. I can't remember where they started off. But anyway, the two groups took like different trajectories, right? Like the Dandy Warhols signed with a major label and had huge successes in the late 90s, early 2000s. on the other hand, the Dandy Warhols just seem to shoot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. They just, every opportunity, they kind of just blew it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, watching the documentary, sometimes I'm like, was it just how things turned out? Were they drugged up? Was it self-sabotage? Like, I've got theories about it. But anyway, the Dandy Warhols released Not If You're the Last Junkie on Earth, apparently about the Brian Jonestown Massacre, who were junkies at the time, apparently. Yeah. This is all apparent. And Brian Jonestown Massacre was like, huh, we're going to one-up you. And we released this other track. And out of the two, I definitely like the Brian Jonestowns a bit better. But yeah. So that's what we're starting it with. And then we got into probably one of the most famous, and I'm using air quotes here, rivalries of all time.
Yeah.
Beatles versus Stones.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do a rivalry show and not talk about Beatles versus Stones.
I think that one's more or less fan-based. It's not band-based.
Yeah, I was trying to find, like, I was doing this research. I was trying to find, okay, where did this start? Because usually these will start from, like, a misunderstanding or a quote somebody read. There's something that kind of kicks it off. There was really nothing. It was more marketing, by the sounds of it. I did find a few things that said there was some dislike, like the Rolling Stones didn't really like the sound the Beatles were going in, and vice versa. But I don't think that, you know, to the point where they're like...
Yeah, it's like I was reading some stuff, too, about the Beatles and the Stones, and then the Beatles and the Beach Boys.
Yes.
But it was all creative.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It's like the Beatles did this, so the Beach Boys like, yeah, let's try to do this.
Yeah, they were contemporaries, I think, is a better term than rivals. But I can see how the Beatles and the Stones could be pitted against each other.
Yeah, because they were two bands from England that came out at the same time.
Same kind of sound, but you had one who had the squeaky clean boy band image, and the others who were kind of rough and tumble and just oozing sex and were like a little bit more of the Bad Boys.
Yeah.
So I can see, you know, you got Night and Day, Devil, and you know. So the next one we're going to get into is pretty interesting. So the Von Bondies and the White Stripes, but specifically Jack White.
Yeah.
So I knew there was a connection between the Von Bondies and Jack White. I didn't know how deep it ran until I started doing this research. So Jack White actually really helped the Von Bondies find success. He was the one who put them on the compilation Sympathetic Sounds of Detroit in 2001. He actually produced their album Lack of Communication, which kind of... like, brought them to the spotlight. So what happened? Apparently, the two groups, the Von Bondies and Jack White, I don't know if Meg's involved, it just says Jack, so we're at a CD release party for a band, I can't remember the name, Bleaches or something, and Jack was trying to talk to the lead singer of the Von Bondies, his name's Jason, I can't remember his last name, but apparently Jason just wasn't responding to him, and Jack got pissed off and wailed on him. Locked him in a corner, like, kind of got him in a corner, and apparently punched him, quote, 8 or 9 times in the face.
Jeez.
When the fight was done, Jack White had a broken finger, and Jason from the Von Bondies was bruised, had a bleeding nose, and apparently that just kind of stopped any association and friendship right there. So we're going to play two. We're going to play Lack of Communication from the Von Bondies. I'm going to follow it up some White Stripes.
Yeah.
Round two.
Ding, ding, ding.
We'll be right back. myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Loving everything for two. I just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Like a summer rose, need a summer rain. I need your sweet love to fill the way. Well, I don't know what to do with myself. Just don't know what to do with myself. Like a summer rose.
face and affiliates the country. He takes all manner of pills and piles up out of his bills in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm, that's a rural charm in the country. So he needs a lot of rest in the country. He doesn't drink, smoke, laugh, takes herbal baths in the country. He should come to my heart on an animal farm in the country. La la la. I wanna be
with the large complexity when the leather runs smooth on the passenger seat. I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch to wear. This man said it's gruesome that someone so handsome should care.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Tungsten Park is 101.5.
UMFM.
UMFM. And in this corner, we have Captain Dan.
Ding, 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 ding.
And in this corner,
Penny Lane.
Penny Lane. Bringing you some great rock and roll rivalries. Rivalries. Tonight on the show.
Yes.
So back to my notes. Because I did research, folks.
She did.
I did. So let's go back.
Yeah.
We started that set off with Blur doing Country House.
Yes.
And you had to follow it off with Oasis.
Yeah.
Doing Roll With It. So, do you know how the feud between the two of these started?
No. No clue.
I had totally different impressions. It started out as a chart battle in 1995. So, Blur actually changed the release of that song, Country House, to the very same day as Oasis's Roll With It. You want to know why Blur did that? This is hilarious. Apparently, at the time, Oasis was kind of riding a successful high from their debut album. I can't remember what song it was, but it went to number one. And Oasis and Blur were kind of in the same place. And Damien from Blur came up to one of the Gallagher brothers. And he was like, ha, 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 we're number one in your face, Damien. And just like, yeah. as a Gallagher does.
Well, yeah.
And Damien was like, oh, we'll see about that. And that's kind of how this whole Oasis versus Blur thing started. But like you said before, a lot of these are press driven too.
Yeah.
Look what it did for Britpop.
It did. It just threw them right into us. You know, gave us a here's another British invasion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, over here, sleepy little Selkirk town. I mean, you know how sleepy it is.
Yeah.
We were all talking Blur versus Oasis. Who's better, right? Like, it was such a thing, and everybody, well, I don't know a lot about Blur, so I'm going to go listen to Blur, and I'm going to go. So, yeah, chart battle. Yeah. It all started because the two bands, the whole Brit wave, Brit pop wave was starting, and shit happens.
There you go.
A lot of these rivalries also kind of stem from just people talking smack and shit in the press, which brings us to the Smiths and the Cure.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you're aware of this one a little
bit. Yeah, I noticed Robert Smith's always, you know, dissing Morrissey about meat.
And vice versa. So it started in the 1980s, actually, when Morrissey called Robert Smith, quote, a whinge bag. I don't know what a whinge bag means, but I'm sure it's not great.
No, it doesn't sound great.
In an interview with a paper called The Face. So Robert Smith retaliated by saying, quote, Morrissey's so depressing. If he doesn't off himself soon, I probably will. And it just rolled from there. Yeah. And it's funny because the two of them now, they say it's kind of imaginary. They were just talking smack because they're both like that, right? Morrissey just talks crap. And Robert Smith sometimes just talks crap, right? They're just those kind of people. They've said in various interviews, they don't hate each other. Like, but again, the press gets a hold of something and it's like, oh, or is he just totally trashed Robert Smith? Right? It blows up.
Yeah.
Same vice versa. But you're right. Like, I think the two of them are the type of personalities that they just play it up.
Yeah.
I feel that way. I was shocked that it was actually Robert Smith who started, or Morrissey who started it.
Actually, I'm not, because Morrissey's so...
he's a bit of a dirtbag.
He's a bit of a dink, but...
I know, it was so funny when he was in Winnipeg and you and I went to go see him. Yeah. It was so funny how divisive people were about that show. Like, yeah. I remember, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited to go see Morrissey. And people are like, he's a jerk. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's Morrissey.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be Morrissey if he wasn't a dick.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway... You enjoying the rivalries?
I am.
Do you want to hear? Well, let's go to the Instagram, and I'm going to just I put the question out there. I wanted to hear where people stood on these rivalries. So let me just pull this stuff up. So I got to flip through a bunch of crap here. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. So for the Dandies and the Brian Jonestown, more people like the Dandies, 52% to 48%. Rolling Stones versus the Beatles. The Beatles are edging out at 56%.
Yeah.
The Von Bondies versus the White Stripes, 94% for the White Stripes. You know, you guys, well, Jason was a bit of a dick in that one. Blur versus Oasis. Oasis is strong at 66%.
Yeah.
The Cure versus the Smiths. This one's, I'm surprised, The Cure at 66%. And the next one we're going to talk about, Nirvana versus Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
78% are siding with Nirvana on this one. You may not be when you hear why.
Yeah.
So do you know, you were the one who told me to put this one in here.
I've heard something that, was it Cobain was saying that Pearl Jam wasn't as hard, you know, hard enough to be considered
exactly
grunge.
It. So yeah, Kurt Cobain was never a fan of Pearl Jam, apparently.
Yeah.
Didn't like being compared to the group was the issue. So Kurt said in a 1992 interview with Flipside that he, quote, has strong feelings towards Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains and bands like that. They're obviously just corporate puppets that are just trying to jump on the alternative bandwagon. So the funny thing is with this one, about a year later, the two, when Kurt Cobain made these statements, he'd never met Pearl Jam. He didn't know Eddie Vedder. Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam were just starting out, same with Alice in Chains. Like, they didn't know each other. A few years later, the two of them met and were like, you're pretty cool.
Yep.
You're pretty cool, too. Became friends. So this rivalry between the two that stemmed from those quotes that Kurt Cobain said kind of just fizzled. They buried the hatchet. You know, he said it, whatever. He didn't really know Pearl Jam.
Yeah, to me, Pearl Jam doesn't seem as edgy as Nirvana did when they first came out.
You're right. It's funny because I'm playing one of their edgiest songs from one of their edgiest albums.
Yeah.
But you're right, they were very, when you listen to early Nirvana and you listen to early Pearl Jam, they're definitely not the same.
Yeah.
So we're going to play some late Nirvana and some late Pearl Jam.
Yes,
we're going to play from the Unplugged album, Come As You Are, and like I said, probably my favorite Pearl Jam album, Phytology. We're going to play Spin the Black Circle. So
sweet,
some Nirvana on Punks and Parkas.
Yeah.
Come as you are, as you were, yes, I want you to be, as a friend, as a friend. Yes, I know land of me. Take your time, hurry up. Just is yours, don't be late. Take a rest, yes, a friend. Yes, I know land of me. Yeah, land of me. Yeah, land of me. Yeah.
Spin it. Spin it, Eddie. Spin it.
See, how can you tell me that Pearl Jam is not freaking hard?
I don't know. You can understand Kurt's lyrics a little bit better, though.
Yes, true.
If you listen to Little Yellow Ledbetter,
yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that is Pearl Jam from, I feel, their best album, their most underrated album, Vitalogy, Spin the Black Circle, Nirvana from the Unplugged. Fantastic Unplugged album, Come As You Are. Yes. So we're talking great rock and roll rivalries. Yes. I left a big one for the end. Made sure we had time to cover this because it's bizarre. It's one that never was resolved either.
No.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Prince and Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So how much do you know about that whole situation?
I know it started when Purple Rain and Thriller came out, and Thriller outsold Purple Rain.
It was part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I found is that both of them were coming to fame at the same time. So they were, they're, again, like many bands that come up together at the same time, the press likes to pit them against each other.
Yeah.
And compare them to each other, right? So going to my notes here. So they were kind of rivals from afar in that regard. Both being artists of color, they were often compared, which Jackson did not like. He did not like being compared to Prince, apparently. This is all allegedly. Don't come at me.
Yeah.
Okay. So soon there was a professional rivalry that started up. So things kind of came to a head in 1983, actually. So James Brown had a show where both artists were in the audience. So Michael Jackson and Prince. James Brown asked Michael Jackson to come up. He just freaking killed it, for lack of a better word. Just amazed the crowd. Had a great performance with James Brown. James Brown then called Prince up on stage. And that apparently was a goddamn gong show. Prince was trying to outdo this. I wasn't there, folks, so I don't know. But Prince was apparently trying to outdo Michael Jackson and was just acting a fool, was like jumping up on stage props, falling over, like horrible. To the point that Michael Jackson said in the press that Prince made a fool of himself and he was embarrassed by Prince's actions and was upset that he had to share the same stage with him. Michael Jackson apparently, allegedly, was so upset that he bought every kind of video footage of that night so it would not get released. I tried to find it.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried not for a long time, but I was like, when I was reading this, I wonder if I could find it. I couldn't find it.
Huh.
So maybe there's some truth to that. But anyway, things kind of just progressed from there.
Yeah.
Right? So they're both saying things and kind of, and you're right, the outselling of the, you know, when Thriller was big, it was kind of a stab to the old heart. The crazy thing is this rivalry never came to a conclusion. Most of the artists on this list, apart from maybe Jack White, kind of patched things up, for lack of a better word, right? Like the Beatles and the Stones don't hate each other.
Yeah. And even one of the Gallaghers was working with Blur on one of the Gorillaz albums there.
But so. Michael Jackson passed away.
Yeah.
And
then Prince shortly after.
Shortly after. And the thing is, people came and they asked Prince right away. They're like, Michael Jackson passed away. And he didn't say much on it, but one of the things he was quoted as saying was, it hurts to talk about somebody I love dying. Yeah. And it was like, wow. But I think to have a good rivalry, there's also mutual respect and love, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it's a professional rivalry and musicians.
Especially when you got two talented artists, you know, that are just
amazingly talented.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like you said, Prince passed away a handful of years after Michael Jackson, really. 10 years, maybe?
I think so, yeah. Something like that.
Something like that. So, not resolved?
No.
Unfortunately. And kind of sad, because could you imagine if those two ever had gotten together?
Yeah, that would be pretty amazing.
Freaking sane.
Yeah.
So sad, but yeah. So that's our great rock and roll rivalries.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot. I asked people on Facebook to kind of drop some. There is a lot.
Yeah.
Courtney Love versus pretty much everybody in the 90s, 2000s.
Yeah. Metallica, Megadeth.
Metallica, Napster.
Yeah. Van Halen.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We stayed away a lot, like the Davies Brothers from the Kinks.
Yes.
Yeah. Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
We stayed away from interpersonal. We wanted to do group to group.
I think the biggest one that we haven't played on here was Biggie and Tupac, that whole thing that happened.
Right? You know? The whole East Coast, West Coast thing. Yeah. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Rivalries are a thing. So I got two tracks. Definitely going to play the Prince one because I like Prince a little more than Michael Jackson. But I do love some Michael. I don't think we're going to get to the Michael Jackson track. It was off the wall, but we're going to play Controversy by Prince until it till the hour's up. So yep. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with a pre-recorded show.
Yes.
But we will be here. And
Yeah.
Go check out Vintage Vinyl.
Go check them out.
You want some great rock and roll rivalries? He'll set you up.
You like Patti Smith? They got Patti Smith.
Oh, so much Patti Smith.
Yep.
Don't get horses. That's for me. Anyway, have a great weekend, everybody.
See ya.
Controversy. Do you get high? Does your day-